Coming up next, why these careers are wrecking marriages, and then there's some good economic news from Olive Garden. Is dyslexia a gift? We'll have a dream scream, and then we're going to coach you up. Let's go. All right, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we coach you up to get the competitive edge so you're making more money and more impact. Well, if you're going to make more money and more impact, your marriage can't be falling apart. You want to talk about affecting your professional life? If your personal life is in the dumpster, well, it's going to have an effect. Well, Ken, I know very successful people make a lot of money and they've been married two or three times. Yes, that's true. But it has still had impact on their professional life. And what good does it do to make a bunch of money, have a bunch of toys, but have broken marriages and broken relationships with your kids? Is that the trade-off you want? I don't want that. So let's look at, we've been talking about this before on the show, and it's done very, very well, and so we want to revisit it. We talked about the fact that there are jobs, careers, that have a very high percentage of divorce rate, and you cannot overlook this. Now, let me also say that just because the data shows that these particular career paths or jobs tend to have a high rate of divorce does not mean that you are doomed to divorce if you're in this field. And we're going to talk about how do you guard against becoming a number, a statistic. So don't be alarmed. Be encouraged. Now, as we look at the list, and we're just going to go through the list of the top divorce rate related jobs. But before we get here, as I've looked into and done the research behind all of this, I think there's some key takeaways to understand before we reveal the list. Number one, there's a high level of stress in each of these jobs. There's trauma, which I think is next level than, I mean, stress is one thing. Let me give you an example. You know, an air traffic controller, that's a high stress job. But then if you are a police officer or you are a medical professional, there are certain jobs, or you are a forensic counselor in a lot of crimes. No matter how professional you are, there is trauma associated with this work. The stuff these people see and hear is devastating. So in these jobs, you're going to see a lot of things. You're going to see high levels of stress. You see at times significant trauma. I think you're going to see intense hours. So long hours. And then might I suggest that you're going to see high levels of boredom. It's fascinating. So you look at high stress, trauma, long hours, a lot of boredom. What does that do? It creates a disconnection. It causes separation. You disconnect from everything and everybody due to any one of those circumstances at times, not all the time, but you can be susceptible or tempted to do a full disconnect. And what happens is disconnection happens over time. Watch disconnect, 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 disconnect. It's almost as if every time we choose to disconnect from friends and family, and we're specifically talking about our spouse here, every time we choose to disconnect, it's almost like a plank being built in a bridge, and now it's full separation. This is what's happening. I mean, this is common sense. I mean, I'm no marriage expert, but I'm looking at the jobs and looking at the patterns, and I just know for being married 24 years myself, got to be careful that you don't let the disconnection stack up. So let's go through the list here. And again, I'm just going to roll through these very quickly. Then we're going to talk about what do we do to guard against this. And by the way, let me also just say, I think marriage matters. You can look at the data on married people are healthier and they're happier. They just are. And so I'm not just talking to people that may be in these occupations as a warning. I'm really talking to all of us here. Because whether it makes the list or not, if you make your entire life about your profession, you are going to lose your family on some level. If you are winning at work, but you're losing at home, it will eventually affect your ability to win at work. And the opposite is true as well, the converse. If you're winning at home, but losing at work, you're going to eventually drag that home with you. And you'll drag the home stuff to work with you. As I say many times, we have purpose personally and professionally. We focus mostly on the professional side of things here. But this is a day and this is a topic that we need to be hanging out on. So here we go. Occupations with the highest divorce rate. Gaming managers. Gaming and casino managers have the highest divorce rate. 52.9%. I was going to point out as I go through that just my opinion here. I don't think that's a high stress job. As I laid out the different categories that can cause a certain occupation to be more susceptible to divorce. But I think of the gaming manager, the casino manager may be high stress. I actually don't know. But I think the gaming managers, I think there's a lot of boredom there. Think about it. Standing around long hours, very monotonous, you know, you're staring at tables. I mean, hey, I've played a few hands of blackjack in my day. I love being at the craps table as well. It's a pretty boring job and it might be very long. There might be some high stress too. Bartenders, long hours here. Long hours, you're listening to everybody else talk about how bad their life sucks. You tell me that doesn't affect you? Absolutely does. Gaming service workers, again, gaming ranking twice. 52% of bartenders, 50% of gaming service workers. What's going on? I'm going to tell you right now, the guy who's sitting at the blackjack table is bored out of his skull. He doesn't even know what his soul feels like anymore. It's gone. You're sitting there for hours and hours on end, watching people make money, lose money. Boredom is an absolute cancer of the soul. We'll move through these quickly. Switchboard operators, telemarketers, textile, knitting, and weaving machine operators, pressing compact machine setters, operators, all of those were in the high 49 and then 48%. What's going on there? Boredom and monotony. Boredom and monotony, again, rearing its ugly head. So what do we do? Number one, we got to be aware. That's why I reveal these industries. We need to be aware of I'm in a job that's high stress, high trauma, crazy long hours, very monotonous and boring. Awareness, so that we can do what? We can mitigate, it's a fancy word, to go guard against the temptation or guard against other factors that would cause divorce. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to focus. If you're in any of these type of jobs, high stress, long hours, traumatic type things going on, or you're bored. Until we change jobs, or if we have to stay in those jobs, what do we do with our spouse? Focus on the relationship. That's time, that's communication, and connection. Let me say it again. You have to be very intentional to spend time with your spouse. And when you're with them, you're communicating. And then you're doing things to connect with them beyond just communication about what matters, but connecting with them, spending time, fun, rewarding time. What is that going to do? It's going to fill your heart up, fill your soul until you can make a change to get in work that you love. Don't move. More coming up. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show as we coach you up daily so that you have the competitive edge to make more money but experience more meaning because of the impact you're making, and it's possible. Now, we have a fun little segment where I bring you relevant articles. It's like my own news broadcast to give you the other side of the story sometimes to make sure that you know how to filter all the garbage that comes out of the media because it's just all designed to be negative. And so as we set up today's segment, let me give you the context by which I share the first story. All you're hearing right now, oh, we're headed to a recession. The sky's falling. We're all going to live under a bridge and starve. Inflation is high. It's not stopping. That's all we hear. Company's going to lay people off. That's all we're hearing. And by the way, we probably are headed into a recession. We absolutely are in crazy high inflation. And companies will, of course, lay things off because the Fed, their whole strategy, these imbeciles, as I reported on last week, these imbeciles, I said the right word, these morons think that raising interest rates are going to help spur companies into laying people off. And they think that's the way to fight inflation is send people home unemployed. Brilliant strategy. It's absolutely mind-blowingly stupid. Anyway, I can't do anything about that, but I can inform you. All right. So here's where we stand today. But is it possible for you, the consumer, or for businesses to adapt to not so great economic environments and still win? And is the sky falling? Our first story unpacks it in the news. Let's go. Now, let me just say this. If you love breadsticks and bottomless salad, you're about ready to be very delighted. Now, I know that for Joe, he loves the breadsticks. And I know Amanda loves the bottomless salad. So you two are going to be very excited. Is there a hint? Did you get the clue? Olive Garden's Parrot Company. Darden Restaurants. By the way, they also, I believe, are the parent company of Longhorn Steakhouse. So you got Olive Garden and Longhorn. You got, you know, what I would call two budget chain restaurants, right? They're not expensive. I mean, I guess you could buy something expensive on the menu, but in the grand scheme of things, they're more budget conscious, budget friendly. And so Darden Restaurants is the parent company, and their quarterly earnings and revenue beat analysis expectations. This is from CNBC. In the face of higher costs and economic uncertainty, Olive Garden's parent company issued a mixed forecast for fiscal 2023. This is not a boring finance article, so stay with me. Their CEO said, "We think it's prudent to be cautious and preserve flexibility rather than pass through some costs that may not be permanent." So I hope you pay attention to words, not these fear-mongering media types. Because the actual CEO says, you know what? We're going to be cautious and preserve flexibility. Meaning we might raise our prices, but we don't just want to automatically pass through some of the inflationary costs onto our customers because we don't think it's going to be permanent. Now, this is not a guy who's an executive CNBC. This is a guy that makes his living on profits. That's who I want to listen to in economic uncertainty. What does he say? Well, he's saying that they don't expect the cost of the proteins, chicken, beef, things of that nature, to stay higher. They don't think higher costs for key commodities like chicken and dairy and wheat will be permanent. So these are the people that get paid to forecast this stuff. So I'm sharing this article because I thought it might be fun to go, well, Olive Garden is still affordable and they're beating their competition and they're beating profit expectations. How? By maintaining frugality and still passing on good experience to their customers, meaning they're not raising their prices wholesale across the board and yet they're beating earnings. So the response to inflationary cost leaders isn't always to immediately pass it on to the consumer. My cost of business went up. Let me penalize my customer. That's not always the right response. I'm just putting that out there. So very interesting and good on them. By the way, their net sales, watch this. Olive Garden didn't raise their prices during the inflation, and yet their net sales rose 14.2% or $2.6 billion. Turns out people are like, I still want to go out to eat. But let's go out on family night, take the whole kit and caboodle, and we'll let the kids gorge on breadsticks and we'll gorge on bottomless salad. And they're ending up turning this into profits. So it is possible. And again, I want to underscore the CEO of the parent company of Olive Garden and Longhorn is saying we don't expect the inflationary cost of wheat, dairy, and chicken to stay high. Ride the storm out, folks. It's going to come back. So fun story there. Now I want to shift to something that's very personal to me. One of my children has dyslexia, and I've had to, as a parent of an American child who has dyslexia, I've had to, you know, walk through this. And it has been heartbreaking. It has been frustrating at times. And you're talking about people like Leonardo da Vinci, Albert Einstein, Pablo Picasso, Stephen Hawking, Richard Branson, Steve Jobs, Damon John, my friend, who's one of the sharks on Shark Tank, Mr. Wonderful. I mean, 4 out of the 5 sharks have dyslexia. And yet, in the school system in America, dyslexia is treated like a disorder. And on some ways, obviously, the brain does think differently. But this from studyfinds.org, obviously, they list all these people that had it who've been successful. But published in the journal Frontiers of Psychology, they believe that the dyslexic brain is a superpower. The deficit-centered view of dyslexia isn't telling the whole story, said Helen Taylor. This research proposes a new framework to help us better understand the cognitive strengths of people with dyslexia. So, while they may struggle with reading and math and certain processing, they are very creative in problem solving. We believe that the areas of difficulty experienced by people with dyslexia result from a cognitive trade-off between exploration of new information and exploitation of existing knowledge, with the upside being an explorative bias that could explain enhanced abilities observed in certain realms like discovery, invention, and creativity. Now, that's all a bunch of fancy medical gobbledygook. Aren't you glad that I'm plain spoken? I'm going to tell you what that whole paragraph actually meant. Fancy Helen Taylor, who's very smart, basically just said, for all the negatives in the academic struggles, again, like reading, writing, spelling, certain dyslexics have trouble with math processing and things of that nature, gets traded off with the ability to explore creatively, mentally, and see things that other people don't see, to be able to problem solve in areas that other people don't even see the problem. Discovery, invention, creativity. So again, one of the world's great entrepreneurs, Richard Branson, to this day, does not use a computer, can't spell, dictates everything. Okay, he's brilliant. Einstein probably couldn't spell on a third grade level, but he understood math processes. Even the dyslexic brain is very different. It's not all the same brain. So I say this because I think a lot of parents are out there. I think a lot of people out there have dyslexia, and you've had some learning challenges, and those learning challenges, watch, have piled up on you. Excuse me. And they've created a narrative that you don't have any talent, that you're so different than the rest of the kids who could thrive in a cookie cutter classroom. But because you struggled taking tests, or because you can't spell as well, or you can't read as well, that you're broken and something's wrong with you. Oh, listen to me. You were created uniquely and wonderfully, and your dyslexic brain is a superpower. Lean into what you do well and forget the rest. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Colvin Show. So excited that you are with us. My friends at ZipRecruiter are doing some amazing stuff. We're getting feedback from those of you who are engaged with ZipRecruiter. It's a free service to you. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken is the site. Why would you do this? Because for those of you that are looking for a new job, it is full of frustration in that you get rejected a lot. It's just the nature of the game. It's competitive. Sometimes you don't even get anything back. You're getting ghosted. And it's frustrating. You're putting yourself out there. You don't hear anything back. It's frustrating. It's lonely. It's a lot of work. Well, with just a few minutes at ZipRecruiter.com/Kent, you fill out a profile, and they immediately start submitting your resume to companies that have jobs that seem to be in alignment with what you've put out there on your profile that you want. So did you catch what's going on? ZipRecruiter is out there recruiting for you, pushing you, and then they connect you directly to the company. If the company says, yes, Zip, I want to talk to so-and-so. So it's absolutely free to you because the companies pay Zip for access to talent. That's you, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. We'll get to Elena in just a moment. I got to say hi to our YouTube crazies. I guess today, Amanda, I did not do a paper crinkle, so this is for them. I forgot to do it in the news. I got all excited. There's your sound effect. They're all commenting on the lake retreat. The Ramsey personalities went to Dave Ramsey's lake house, and these people stalked me on Instagram. So they comment on everything. So why did Ken not skydive? I'll tell you why Ken didn't skydive. Ken doesn't want to skydive. Ken didn't water ski. Why didn't Ken water ski? It's a very simple answer. Ken doesn't want to water ski. Now, why doesn't Ken want to skydive? I'm not interested in the small percentage chance that I go splat. I don't need that kind of adrenaline. Not knocking anybody that's done it. I'm sure it's great. All of my colleagues. It's amazing. You got to do it. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. You lived. Sure, it's amazing. I did a Instagram reel about the water skiing thing. I tried water skiing once. I'm dreadful at it. I drank half the lake. My little teeny legs were exhausted. I could barely stand up when I got up. I have no talent at water skiing. Thus, I have no passion for it. And it doesn't create a result that makes me happy. Talent, passion, mission. Hello, folks. I'm consistent. People banging on me on Instagram. Oh, Ken, you ought to try water skiing. I did. I suck at it. I'm done. I'm not going to keep doing it. It's ridiculous. Why don't you all go find something that you're dreadful at and go do it for half a day in the sun? What? All right. Enough of it. Elena is on the line in Detroit, Michigan. Elena, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream. What's going on?
Okay, I'm needing some coaching.
Here we go.
So, all right, here we go. I've been doing the same job for 15 years.
Okay.
So lots have changed in 15 years doing the same job. I feel like in the last couple of years, I just lost my juice. I just don't have the juice for it anymore. Some days I feel like part of the problem and not the solution. So, yeah, I'm like, I listen to you every morning. I got your language. There's no ladder. There's no hope. We're an office of four people. So,
yeah.
You know, limited ladders.
Yeah.
And, I'm like, I'm...
So what ladder do you want to climb?
I want to just climb my own personal ladder. Me, right now, it's about... I want to have access to the lifestyle that I want to have. That means being in charge of my time.
Good.
I want to be able to say, hey, if I want to take a week and go hang out with the grandkids, I can go take a week and hang out with the grandkids.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you have that financial freedom to be able to do that?
At the moment, I do.
Great. Well, what would change that?
I still feel like I have a lot to contribute. So I could take time off and go do it, but doesn't align with my employer to take a time off and go do what I want to do.
Well, wait a second. Now, my point is if you don't need the paycheck, then you need to make a decision to, I'm going to now step away at some point in the very near future.
Correct. I've asked, can I go down to a 4-day work
week? No, you're missing the whole point. You're going to stop working for this person.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Wait a second. When you don't need permission from him or her if you're not working for them. So you're telling me you're in a financial where you don't need your income right now, but you'd like to find a job where you could bring some income but also had flexibility.
Yep.
And we think that's working for Elena. So working for you. So what would you do? What would be the business that you would try if you didn't have to worry about financial failure? You just tried it. What would you do for you?
I would find a job that I can work remotely. Remotely is really what my focus is right now because it will give me the opportunity.
So keeps the income, but allows you to go.
Keeps the income, gotcha. Correct.
Okay, well, what kind of work are you really good at?
I'm really good at working with people.
Okay.
So people will say, I listen to you. Like, what would people say if that you're good at? People
good.
Say you've missed your calling because you're really good at mediating problems between people. I can mediate really well.
Interesting.
I problem solve really well. I come from a family of engineers. Now, I'm not making tools, but I can take a problem and figure out how to engineer that.
So now, let me ask you this. Are there remote jobs out there where there are customer service agents that are dealing with customers or helping solve problems over the phone or via chat or via Zoom?
Yes, Ken Coleman, I'm checking your Zip Recruiters.
There we go. But don't just check their page. I mean, I want you signed up with Zip, all right? But I also want you out there making connections.
I'm trying to make connections.
Good. So here's the deal.
My proximity principle. I'm
there,
like,
we go.
You know, in my life, I might want to dabble in this. So I went
good.
There and said, hey, can I get a part-time job there so I can learn a little bit more
perfect.
About that to see if I really...
All right, so that's the answer. All right, so you called and said, Ken, I need to be coached. You know what you need? You just need, atta girl, you're doing it. Keep doing it. Don't do anything differently.
Stay the course.
The only thing differently is just adding more connections to the process. Hey, I'm looking for remote work where I'm solving technical problems that have a people quotient to them.
And I can be nice to people. I want to work where people are nice, where people actually like people.
Well, so here's the deal. You don't even necessarily have to go the technical route. If you're just good at customer service and you want to get out of this current job, take a customer service remote job where you're dealing with people all day and you are like the ray of sunshine in their life. So let's maybe build a bridge to the technical remote work. Don't just rely on one narrow thing. Like, if you're on the phone with people all day and you're helping them solve a problem and you're dealing with their emotions too, that'd make you a pretty happy camper because you could do that anywhere. And these companies are looking for remote customer service reps. Like, for instance, my cable company or TV, if something goes wrong with a TV or a laptop or a smartphone. That's up your alley. So stop overthinking it. Stay on the path that you're on, but expand your activity with people and places. Hang on the line. Well, you already have the proximity principle, don't you? You already got the book, don't you?
I do. Oh, and I got the new book.
From Paycheck to Purpose, which includes proximity principle in the third stage. From Paycheck to Purpose is the full deal. So you got this. All right? Just move. Activity. This is the name of the game. I stay active. I'm looking. I'm asking. I'm connecting. I'm looking. I'm asking. Connecting. What am I looking for? Opportunities. I'm looking for connections. I'm asking for those connections to help me. I'm asking questions of myself all the time, constantly. So this is the game. Activity. Intentionality. I had a boss that once used to tell me all the time, nothing's moved unless it's shoved. Shove it. It's a good thing. Hey, I got to get out of here. Remember this, you matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like the Dr. John Deloney Show.
Mental health challenges and hurting relationships happen to everyone, but they don't have to define you. I'm Dr. John Deloney, and I help people navigate through the messy things in their lives on the Dr. John Deloney Show. I'll walk alongside you as you face parenting, marriage, and other relationship challenges, and I'll walk alongside you as you try to connect with people, as you face depression, overcome anxiety, and learn how to change your life. Listen, I want you to be well. Listen to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.